Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
And we're here every Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock, bringing you information on real estate and finance.
And hanging out with Batman.
That's right.
Did I tell you that?
Esteemed announcer.
Yes. Did I tell you that for Halloween? So the guy that I've been dating, he's going to be dressing as Robin. He has a son who's got a birthday. And so he's going to be dressing up Robin to his Batman. And so for Halloween, I'm going to be dressed as Catwoman.
Oh, boy.
So he doesn't have to buy a second costume. It's going to be hilarious, well, I think.
I'm not going to ask too many questions about that. So apparently you already own the Catwoman costume.
No, I'll be getting one.
Oh, you will?
I have a Wonder Woman. We were going to do Wonder Woman, and then he was going to dress as like the pilot. And then he told me about having to dress as Robin for his son, and I was like, that's so adorable. And I was, so we started looking at costumes the other week. I was like, ooh, Catwoman looks kind of hot too. I think I'll get one of those.
There you go.
There's a lot of options.
That was my favorite show as a little kid.
Yes.
I waited all week long for Batman, and we'd sit down.
I thought you were going to say Catwoman.
No, Batman was not enough. And I never understood why my parents were always cracking up until I was older and watched the reruns and saw all the double entendres were in there.
There was a bunch of them.
We just thought that was a super exciting show.
Yeah. But, okay. I shouldn't have brought that
anyway,
up.
We're going to go down.
Our
announcer.
Anyway, before we get back, because you, John, you were saying we still have John Laswell of Laswell Home Inspection with us talking about the RIO program and home inspections. But we were just finishing up in the last segment, like what were some of the number one or top three items that you find in these inspections? Go ahead and tell us.
So number one, smoke and CO detectors.
Yeah.
Number two would be handrails and guardrails. And a lot of it is our rental stock in Seattle are a lot of older homes.
Right.
And pre-1971, handrails weren't required by code. Mm-hmm. And so the city of Seattle has decided that regardless of when the house was built, that they have to have handrails that conform to code. Mm-hmm. So many of the
houses. Inside and outside?
Inside and outside.
Okay.
So many of the homes around Seattle don't have handrails to code, and those have to get installed for it to pass a RIO.
Right.
There's also a lot of homes that don't have guardrails. And so one of the common confusions is what is a handrail and what is a guardrail? And I always like to tell people the guardrail is what prevents a child from falling off the side of the basement stairs and cracking their head on the cement floor. The handrail is what someone holds on to who has mobility challenges that needs help getting up and down the stairs.
Right. And with aging populations, we need that even more.
Yeah.
More.
And if there are three or more risers to a set of stairs, and a riser is the flat, the vertical part of the stair, if there's three or more risers, by code, they have to have a handrail.
Right.
And if there's a fall hazard, meaning that the steps don't conform to like the shape of the land on an entry going up to a house in the exterior, they have to have guardrails.
That's going to impact a lot of.
Now, when you say a guardrail, so are you like, I'm just trying to visualize this, or could this just be simply something like a 2x4 that runs along the slope of the stairs?
It
or what?
Has to meet current code. So current code for guardrails has to be a minimum of 34 inches above the front of the step, and it can have openings no wider than would allow a 4-inch sphere to pass.
Meaning a little kid's head.
Meaning a little kid's head, yes.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
Now, with that, if there are existing guardrails that were in place, I can grandfather a guardrail that met code at the time of construction.
Okay. So you have to know a lot of history of code.
Yeah.
For that.
There are some. Seattle has provided some references as far as what codes were in place at what times for judging whether or not guardrails meet.
Oh, they have. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
All right. So we got smoke detectors, CO detectors, handrails, and guardrails. What else? What else comes up all the time?
Those are probably the biggest failure items. You know, electrical hazards are really common, especially in the old basements. You know, I'll walk around a basement. There are a lot of junction boxes without covers and wires sticking out of them. You know, those all have to get cleaned up if it's a habitable space. And if the basement is accessible, it's a habitable space.
Right. Huh, interesting. Okay.
Can you tag a homeowner? I like the, let's say there's a tenant in a unit and they've got, you know, an electrical outlet with, you know, six different plugs coming out of it, running under the carpet and things like that. Will a hazard like that be something that you would call?
You know, that's a tough one because, you know, the program is to police the landlord, not the tenant.
I see.
So But, okay. However, okay. If the tenant has done that because the house doesn't have sufficient electrical outlets, mm-hmm. I can tag the landlord on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if the tenant has just done that because they've got way too many things they want to plug in,
mm-hmm.
It's not my job to police right. how the tenant lives.
Got
right.
it.
Well, just from the standpoint of thinking how a lot of tenants take out fire alarms, I mean, if they set
or
them
smoke
off,
alarms.
Smoke
oh,
alarms.
For sure.
Yeah.
yeah.
Sorry, that's what I mean by that. It's like that happens a lot. You know, I walk into lots of different properties and we constantly see them being disabled by people.
Right.
Because either they were too cheap to swap out a battery or they didn't have a ladder tall enough to get up there. And so they,
you know,
took
funny
it
aside
out
is I did a U District property and there was a smoke alarm in the room and it was right over the dining room or the living room table and the battery was removed from it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the living room or the living room table was about a 3 foot tall bong.
Oh, geez.
So we put a smoke alarm in it, but I told the property manager, I have no doubt come Friday, this is going to be gone.
It's going to be gone. Yeah, that's out of there for sure. You think Friday? You don't think sooner than
it
that?
It probably happened that night.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So interesting stuff.
What is the typical cost for an REO, RIO inspection?
You know, it's a private market, so we can charge whatever we want for the inspection services. Mm-hmm. I charge the same as the city if you hire the city to come out. So it's $160 for the inspection. That's for the building and one unit. If it's a multifamily property, it's $30 per additional unit.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very
and these
reasonable.
These inspections take, generally they take about 30 minutes to do.
Okay.
And if you contrast that to a home inspection, that's about 3 hours.
Right. Yeah, those definitely is much deeper in content. So if somebody might be interested in hiring you, how would they contact you and your company?
They can contact me through my website, www.lasswellhomeinspection.com.
Do you want to spell Laswell?
Lasswell. It's like the little lass that went to the well.
Ah.
You can also contact me at 206-793-0118. I see Eric is dying to say something there.
No, I'm just groaning. That was a groan. Yeah, well,
you can also
thought of that before.
You can also email me at john@lastwellhomeinspection.com.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I've got your stuff ingrained in my brain since I've worked with you for so many years.
I'm Irish, the little lass that went to the well.
So lastwellhomeinspections.com.
Yes.
Got it. All right.
Home inspections or home inspection?
Home inspection.
Oh, home inspection, no S.
Yes.
No S.
Got it. Yeah.
Got it.
Eric's famous for screwing stuff up on this show like that.
Thank you so much.
He's a pluralist.
Well, hey, you know, so for our listeners, you know that we record all of these shows. So, of course, our website will have all of this information on it as well. I already have also pinged this on Facebook. And you do have a Facebook page as well, I see.
I do.
Right? So there's lots of different ways that you can reach out to John and get his experience on your building. And then you also have Jerome working with you doing a lot of the residential, because you've kind of morphed away from doing the residential stuff, right?
I have really focused my time on developing the rental inspection market.
Yeah, because there's a ton of them. Like, how could you not? I mean, you guys, actually, it's kind of divide and conquer, actually, really.
It is, yeah. And you know, as I get older, the fact that I'm not going on roofs and crawling through crawl spaces and crawling through attics seems just more and more appealing.
I'm sure Dana, your wife, appreciates that.
She does, actually.
I can totally imagine
I don't
that.
Come home with cobwebs in my hair.
Yeah, that's an occupational thing. I'm hoping you're wearing like a Tyvek suit when you're crawling around some of those crawl spaces or something along that line.
Well, there definitely are risks associated. I mean, some of the stuff we're talking about, like the things that you're looking for are, you know, frankly, also insurance risks
for
people, right? And when you're a landlord, you're constantly running into the issues of, you know, if you don't have a habitable space, you don't have those guardrails or handrails in place, what's going to be the potentially the first thing that happens if your tenant or one of their friends falls on the property? Well, potentially a lawsuit. So, you know, there's good and bad of all of this. Like, we're sitting here kind of coming at it from the standpoint of like, hey, this is sort of a negative. But in the end, it also potentially does get things into a safer state that, frankly, for some landlords, if they've never thought about it before, might actually put them in a better position to stay away from liabilities.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, it's insurance. Because, you know, we know there are some tenants out there that their whole goal is to separate a landlord from their money. And that's a real risk that we can face as a landlord.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John, I absolutely want to thank you for taking the time today because I know it's valuable time. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. It's been fun.
Yeah, thank you all for listening again today. We'll be back next Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock p.m. on AM 1590 The Answer. Thanks for listening in. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
And if you're interested in our class coming up, write into info@teamreba.com.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at re/max Metro Eastside on Facebook or email info@teamreba.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 2 for more Open House with Team Reba here on AM 1590. The Answer. The preceding program was sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro East Side and Eric Osnes of Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.